go to in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We look forward to worshiping His holy name. And I think that song is what called 10,000 Reasons. So great song, great song selection. And look forward to that. Well, I tell you what, I'm a little jealous of Bunny and Jim Bargo this year, going on to heaven, worshiping the Lord. And often sit and wonder, you know, you think about, well, what are they doing? What are they going through? What kind of worship? And what's the song? What's the music? Everything that's going on. And that, so you get a little bit jealous and envious of those that you know. It's just, it doesn't seem possible they're in heaven today, but they sure are. And that you never know what a year will bring forth. In your Bibles today, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to preach a message today out of this text of Scripture that Paul gives here to the church at Corinth. And I titled the message today, What Kind of Man? Now, when I say man, you could say woman too. What kind of man or what kind of woman are you? What kind of man are you from a neutral standpoint looking at? Or what kind of a person are you? And Paul gives us really three categories that he puts us into and classifies us. And that's going to be where I want to get to here in a moment. And thinking about, I'm going to give you those three categories, three classifications. There are only three in the Bible. And today, no matter who you are, where you come from, or what your background is today, you fall into one of these three categories today that Paul talks about. But he gets more into that at the end of the chapter. But I want to show you this, that when Paul started out here in 1 Corinthians, talking to the church at Corinth, you know, he wrote this letter when he was at Ephesus. And he was in prison there, wrote the letter to about the church at Corinth, and addressed the church. An interesting church at Corinth, and what a lot of blessings, what a great church, and yet also to a lot of things going on in that. And that was a local New Testament church, just like ours is a local New Testament ecclesia, call out assembly. So was the church at Corinth, had a physical place, a physical body of believers. And so Paul, while in Ephesus, writes this letter to the church at Corinth. And so look at what he says here in chapter 2, and really reminding here that the Christian owes nothing to human wisdom, but we owe it all to the Lord. And so Paul did not use his own wisdom. He tried to rely on God's wisdom. And he says in verse 1, "And I, brethren," those at Corinth, the Christians at Corinth, "when I came to you in Corinth, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, I think and I ponder that verse, and I think, I don't know about you, but I would long for, love to be able to hear the Apostle Paul preach or teach or whatever. But Paul right here is saying, I didn't come here with excellency of speech. You know, somehow we got in our mind configured, you know, what we think Paul might have, what kind of preacher he might have been, what kind of wisdom he had, what kind of excellent speech that he had. But he comes out and he says here, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I didn't come with man's wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, I determined, here's a good verse for you and I to hang on to. Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a great verse to hang on to is a priority verse in the year 2021. I determined not to know anything among you and save Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about a lot of things. We do a lot of things. But here Paul's saying the main thing, keep the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus Christ. And that was his emphasis. He said in verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Notice this now in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That'd be the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so he really distinguishes here between human wisdom and godly divine wisdom given by the Holy Spirit of God. That why in verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught." But he says this in verse 7, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I want to focus just a minute and take a look there in verse 7 on that hidden wisdom. And the Bible is very clear. If any of you lack wisdom, let me hold your place there, but let me show you this verse in James. Go to the right there towards Revelation. But when you get past Hebrews, stop there at James chapter 1. And you get down to verse 5 here in James 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So what we need, my friend, is this wisdom that comes from God. Not of men, not of that which we can, you know, we are nobody. We can do nothing in and of ourselves. And that's what Paul is trying to get across here, is to rely upon the power of God, to rely upon the wisdom of God, to rely upon his leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul is saying here, I'm not of excellent speech. I don't have any wisdom. The wisdom that I have needs to come from God. And so he says, that declare I unto you. And he says simply here, I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ. Boy, now you talk about focus. That is focus. He kept his mind on the death, the burial, resurrection of Christ, on the power of God unto salvation. And to do all that he did, every minute of every waking day, he stayed focused, laser focused on what his mission was, what his priority was. He said, notice this, you know, you kind of always envision what kind of guy was Paul. Well, he said, I was with you in weakness, I was with you in fear, and I was with you in much trembling. He says there, you know, when you look at it, that's not the kind of Paul you kind of think of. You kind of think of Paul as being a rock solid guy and anchored in the faith and somebody that's strong and somebody that had enticing words. But here he points out a completely different picture. Paul had fears. Paul had weaknesses. Paul had trembling. Paul had things in his life. If you think about what he went through some very difficult trials and testings and tribulations. He had been stoned. He had been left for dead. He had been thrown in jail. All kinds of things happened to the Apostle Paul. And we think about how in the world did one man, how did he ever go through all that and get through all that? He had a great faith and depending upon God's wisdom to be able to get through the day-to-day crisis that he was dealing with. He depended upon God's wisdom and direction and leadership and power of the Holy Spirit to be able to navigate through all of life's circumstances that he was dealing with. And that's where you and I need to learn today. We don't need the human wisdom. We need God's divine wisdom. And James 1 says, if we lack that wisdom, let him ask of God. So ask today. If you feel you need wisdom for something, ask the Lord. It's yours there for the taking. You just need to ask God. Wisdom for your marriage. Wisdom for raising your children. Wisdom in how to handle the finances that God has entrusted you to. Wisdom to know how to be able to be a godly and a good testimony for the cause of Christ. A godly and a powerful testimony. We should not rely upon our own wisdom, upon our own thoughts, but we need the wisdom here in the power of God. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, and he says in verse 6, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, that hidden wisdom. And James promises you and I that wisdom today. So may we glean, may we grab a hold of that. And then notice in verse 9, he gives us these spiritual things that are not discoverable by human wisdom. If you're relying on your human wisdom, there's just a lot of things you're going to miss out on. If you're relying on human wisdom and your own human reasoning and your own human thought, you're going to miss out on a lot. Look what he says here in verse 9. He said, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What a great conditional verse here in that. And it all starts, if you could read it backwards, start at the end of the verse. Number one is to love God, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. If I could challenge you, if anything in the year of 2021, is to love God more than you did in 2020. To love God with all your heart and to have a love for him. And I'm reminded of even David, back in the Old Testament, the Bible says there that David was a man after God's own heart. Have a yearning for, a desire for, to know him, to fellowship with him, and to do that. And so if you will do that, If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your being, with every ounce in you, he said, then eye hath not seen, then ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You have no idea what's coming. You have no idea the blessings that God can bless you with. You have no idea how God can prosper and bless you and make you successful if you'll just love him with all your heart. And we find here that we need to scoot out of the way, move out of the way, remove out of the way the things that hinder and hinders our relationship with the Lord, and to draw closer to him each and every day, to love the Lord God more than you ever have before. In order to do that, you got to spend more time with him. In order to do that, you got to spend more time in your Bible together. In order to do that, you got to spend more time in prayer together. If you'll do that, you cannot even imagine how much God has in store for you. Eye hath not seen it, ear hath not heard it, and neither have entered into the heart of man. So no matter what you and I can conceive or think today, God can bless above and beyond that. And so I think it's important here when you look at the wisdom that he's talking about in verse 1 to verse 8, now he makes it very clear, don't depend on man's wisdom. Don't sell yourself short. Don't cut yourself off. Love God more than you love anything and everything else. And if you'll do that, I think you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised what'll happen in 2021 and how God'll intervene in your life and be there and help you. And that when you look at verse 10, 11, and 12 here, God has revealed them to prepare men. He says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God which knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, if you've been around the church for any length of time or over the years, I always enjoy my relationships with so many people, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years. There's a man that stands out in my mind that I think back that when I first came back to First Baptist, he was a Bible student, he was a teacher, he was involved in the music, played the piano, played the organ, Mason Mertz. And what a blessing that man was to me. When I got here, I began to interact with Mason and found out how much he loved the Bible, found out how much he digged and studied and read, and that always loved my conversations with him. And every once in a while, he and Gary Mayberry and I, and sometimes Craig Plants would go along, we'd sit somewhere in a restaurant over a cup of coffee or whatever, talking about things in the Bible, trying to teach you and just kind of sharing things from our heart and the things that God had revealed to us by the Holy Spirit of God, and as we dig and search in the Scriptures. I always love, Mason would walk out through the foyer out there and he'd say, hey, when you get a minute this week, read this verse, read this, or think about this, or whatever. And then he'd walk out the door and leave. So then he'd come back next Sunday, hey, what do you think about that? And so we'd sit and talk about it. I always enjoyed that time and thinking about, do you ever think about this? Sometimes we live our life in Christianity on the surface, and just skimming the surface and not getting to the deeper things of Christ that is taught to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Your best teacher, your best one that will ever help you learn the things of God is not me, it's not another pastor, it's not another teacher, it's the Holy Spirit of God that will be and is your teacher. That's who he said here, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of man knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That's one thing that you and I should pray for this year, that God, this year in 2021, Holy Spirit, I beg upon you, I call upon you, I plead with you to teach me your word, to teach me how to pray, to teach me the things of biblical truth and how to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, to teach me how to walk closer with with the Lord Jesus in my daily walk with him. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. But you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to prepare yourself. You're going to have to groom yourself for that and be prepared for what God is going to bring your way. He said, now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know what? You and I are never going to get to the point where we can say, I got it down. I know the Bible pretty good by now. No, you don't, because the more we learn, the more we realize the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And the farther you go, and the farther you go, and you learn more, and you learn a little more, and then you realize, well, I should have known that. No, you just realize there's a vast more knowledge out there to learn, given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. As you go through your experiences, your walk through life, your circumstances of life, and just continue to search that wisdom from God that can teach you all things. And so we find here that God has great things in store for you in 2021. And you need to pursue that through the Holy Spirit and allow Him to be your teacher and to be your guide. And the revealed things are taught in words given by the Holy Spirit. Look at it in verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So now he's beginning to focus in on these three things that I want to talk to you about here in just a moment. But he said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. The most important things you can learn is what the Holy Spirit teaches you, what the Holy Spirit reveals to you, what the Holy Spirit gives to you in your daily walk and in your daily journal, in your daily Bible study, in your daily prayer time, drawing closer to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit of God be your teacher. In verse 14, he says, notice how he correlates now the spiritual man in verse 13 along to the natural man. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Boy, what a distinction. For they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But in verse 15, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you these three things here, because verse 13, 14, 15, 16, here at the end of the chapter, Paul points out to the church at Corinth, there's only three classifications of people. And every one of us here in the sanctuary today fit into one of these three categories. Let's deal with, first of all, the natural person, the natural man. He talks about here, the natural person receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Who's the natural person? The natural person is the unsaved. The natural person is the person that has never recognized yet that they're a sinner and have confessed their sin and have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again by the Spirit of God. So if you're here today, and every once in a while I hear somebody say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I just don't get spiritual things. I don't, you know, maybe it might have to do with your salvation. Because once you're saved, the Bible teaches very clearly that once you're born again, once you're saved, and His Spirit comes in and changes us, and we're born again by the Spirit of God, that His Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, becomes our teacher and our guide, we can begin to understand the Bible and biblical truth. The natural man does not. The natural man does not understand or get or comprehend the things of the Lord. They'll not look at it the same way. Their mind is not there. Their heart is not there. And let me show you. Go over to John. Hold your place there, but go over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. And let me point this out. Many of you already know this, the story in here of Nicodemus, but in John 3:3, Nicodemus came and began to, on his search. He was what the Bible would call a natural man seeking biblical truth. It says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Notice now verse 3. And Jesus answered, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you're not born again, or the Bible uses the term being saved, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you will not go to heaven. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus said here in verse 4, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the of water, his physical birth, natural birth, and of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to have two births. You have a physical birth, obviously, because you're sitting here today in church and you're physically here in the sanctuary. The question, what we do not know, is do you have a spiritual birth by the Holy Spirit of God where you recognize, whenever that was in your life, that you came to the point where that you're a sinner and you couldn't save yourself, and you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your lost soul. The Bible calls it being born again. The Bible, here Nicodemus came looking. Here's a natural man coming looking for answers of how to be a spiritual man. How to know that when you die and take your last breath, you're going to heaven. And Jesus simply told him, said, here, it's impossible to do unless you're born again by the Spirit of God. I think the Holy Spirit, we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit for what the Holy Spirit does and how important part he does in the third person of the Trinity. The other day, last Monday, I told the crowd there at the cemetery over in Wayne, where at the Glenwood Cemetery was where we're laying Jim Bargo to rest. And I looked at Terry and I looked at Roger and I said, now's the time, right now, when you need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to be your comforter, to be your guide, to encourage you, to help you, and to help you get through these difficult days. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit, we must be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. So you have the natural man, and today if you're here and you're not yet saved, you never called yet upon Christ, and you cannot identify to a spiritual birthday, you are what the Bible calls a natural person. By that meaning, you cannot comprehend or understand the things in the mind of God and the things of Christ. Let's look at the second person. Second category here is the spiritual man. Because he says here, back up here in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which God, or which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then he talks about here, because here the Bible at the end of verse 14, the natural man is spiritually, because they are spiritually discerned. But when you get saved, when you become born again, the Bible is very clear. Then you become born again and you begin to understand the things of God because you've been regenerated. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. Let's go over to Ephesians 5. Let me show you this in Ephesians 5, verse 18. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the Lord, in name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the Holy Spirit that changes us and puts within us His Spirit that then allows us to become a spiritual being and the transfer from a natural being to a spiritual being in Christ. So if you're here today and you're saved, you know you're saved, you know you've been born again, you can identify to a day of your new birth, you are a spiritual person in Christ Jesus. And hopefully then you live each and every day and we live that out and we grow in Christ and we seek God's wisdom and we seek God's truth and we allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. If you are not in the Bible having your devotions, if you're not in your Bible studying the Word of God on your own, you're cheating yourself out of the Holy Spirit teaching you biblical truth. I can teach you biblical truth here from the pulpit and Bible truths in Sunday school and church and Wednesday night, whatever, but when the Holy Spirit gives it to you and teaches it to you, it'll sink in more, it'll mean more to you in your own personal growth and your own personal walk with the Lord. Be a Bible student of the Word of God. Allow God's wisdom to teach you biblical truth. And keep this in mind, my friend. Always look at the Bible as what's being taught in context of what's being taught, and to realize the Bible never contradicts itself. The Bible always interprets the Bible. So you're not going to read something over here that contradicts over here. Now, that's not biblical truth. The Bible, it works together in harmony and biblical truth, and the Holy Spirit can teach you that biblical truth as you study the Word of God. You might have to dig. You may not get everything, all your answers right away. You're going to have to read, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to give you divine godly wisdom to understand biblical spiritual truth. So you got the spiritual person. Now let me take the third category, and that is the carnal person. Because he says here in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet to himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. The Bible puts in a category the carnal person. Let me give you a verse. Well, look at it right there in 1 Corinthians 3. Just look at the next chapter, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Here's the carnal person. It says, and I, brethren, talking to the church at Corinth now, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, and for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, and are ye not carnal? So Paul really makes a distinction here of the church at Corinth between that which is spiritual and that which is carnal. You say, well, Pastor, then what is the carnal Christian? I think the carnal Christian is the one that says, you know what, I know I'm saved, I know I've been born again, I know I've believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but I have allowed things to come into my life that supersedes or kind of overshadows that. Here he uses envying and strife or divisions. That's not godly. If there are envyings and strifes and divisions, that's not of God. Never is it of God. God is never the author of confusion. God is always about unity and harmony and accord and a oneness together, always in the Bible. When the Holy Spirit came down, it came down in accord and unity in Acts chapter 2. And so we find here the carnal man is that person that says, you know what, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but I know I'm not living for the Lord either. I know that I've allowed this into my life or this into my life or this into my life, and it is affecting my spiritual life in Christ. I really think that it's not the natural man that's the most miserable. It's not the spiritual man that's not the most miserable. I think it's the third category, when you get to the carnal part of it, that knows you're saved, knows you're on your way to heaven, but yet you know that something in your life is not right, and you're allowing this in or that in or whatever, and you become discouraged or you become whatever, and it's affecting you in your Christian walk with the Lord. You got to get rid of it. Whatever that is, whatever that baggage is, whatever that thing is. Here, Paul used the church at Corinth as saying here, the carnal things that he's saying here is that envy and strife and divisions and that. And so, you know, and you look at it, it's important that we treat the relationships that we're in correctly. Husbands and wives, children, family, church members together, business associates or whatever, that we be wise in what we do in all walks of life. And it should be able to be said of our testimony that, some, you know, that you ever had somebody say to you, I don't know what it is, something different about you in your walk or your talk or your testimony or what you say or how you act or whatever. And that is so important to be godly in Christ Jesus and to walk as we walk under the Lord. And the last thing I want you to see here at the end of this chapter is found there in verse 2. He said, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, who's we? The spiritual. We have the mind of Christ. Today we should put on the mind of Christ. And the Bible's very clear that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be renewed by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. And what is the mind of Christ? To think like Christ, to put on the mind of Christ, and to realize we need godly wisdom to be able to allow us to be the Christian that God wants us to be and to walk with Him and to be a testimony for the cross of Christ. So let me ask you this, my friend. Do you have the mind of Christ today? Do you think spiritual things, or do you think carnal things? Do you allow things that the devil, and the devil, you know, we can become the devil's workshop, you know, and it's amazing because he never lets up and he's relentless. The Bible is very clear. Satan goes about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Goes up and down the land, and he is powerful. He's not as powerful as God, but he'll try to control your mind. He'll try to control your actions. He'll try to get you to operate in the flesh. He'll try to get you to operate in the wisdom of this world and not the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God. Draw therefore closer unto him and unto God, unto Christ, and put on the mind of Christ, the Lord Jesus. For you and I to be victorious, for you and I to be godly, for you and I to be spiritual. I mean, we want to get out of that natural man category as soon as we can. If you're here and you're not saved today, my friend, the best thing you can do is open your mind, open your heart, and realize that you're a sinner and you need the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him for your eternal salvation. If you're a spiritual Christian today, saved by the grace of God, realize today that you need to feed that in your Christian life and to grow in Christ day by day by day. You just can't say, well, you know, that's kind of like, You know, when you get saved, you got to, every day you get up, you got to nourish that spiritual light. You got to teach it. You got to bring it along. You got to allow it to mature. Paul wanted more. I think Paul wanted it more for these Christians at Corinth than they wanted it themselves. He said, I'd rather talk to you about spiritual things. What did he tell them in verse chapter 3? He said, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul's telling the church at Corinth there, he said, I'd rather talk to you as spiritual to spiritual, but you're not there yet. You got to let go of some of this carnal stuff and these carnal things and whatever that is. And he says, and that means growing and maturing and putting on the mind of Christ, that you can be all that God wants you to be. So there's three categories: the natural person, the spiritual person, and then the carnal person. You know, and it's interesting, and this is for another message later on or whatever, the Bible's very clear, because Paul addresses in the church, he says, ye which are spiritual. You know what it is? Ye which are spiritual are to come along beside those that are not spiritual and to help them. If they're not saved, lead them to Christ. If they're living in a carnal life, in a spirit of love, to be able to go to them and just say, hey, what can I do to help? What can I do to help you? You don't need to go down this journey. You don't need to make these choices. You need to make different choices in life. And sometimes we just need a helping hand along the way to help us make good and wise and godly choices. You need to be one of those people in the church. You which are spiritual, stay humble before the Lord and help those along the way to become spiritual. Help those along the way not to fall in that trap of being carnal. And it's for sure going the distance and trying to help somebody that's in the natural way come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Do you know Him today? Are you in the natural category, the spiritual category, or the carnal category? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for Your wisdom. We thank You for the leadership, the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher and to be our guide. And God, today the Scripture, the Bible, is very clear in teaching us biblical truth and what we need to do. And God, help us all today to understand that we need to live lives that are godly and spiritual in Christ Jesus. God, do we fail? Yes. Do we get tripped up sometimes? Yes. Do we get off course sometimes? Yes. And God, may with the Holy Spirit point that out and recognize that, that we would recognize that today and stay, help us to stay on course to make good choices. In the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of life's journey, in the middle of the choices and decisions that we make day by day, week by week, God, help us to be spiritually and godly in Christ Jesus. Help us to put on the mind of Christ today. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, my friend.